Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Hallelujah. Let's open our mouths in 1 minute and just bless the name of the Lord. Bless His name, He's faithful. Father, we honor You. Are You praying? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Pray in the Spirit. Bless Him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship Your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Lift your hands, sing it one time. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I'd like you to open your mouth in 1 minute and cry out your expectation before the Lord. Give me an encounter tonight. Give me a visitation, even by Your Spirit. Outside, make sure you are praying. Those following online, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, again we have come before You, the God of all flesh. We honor You and we thank You for the privilege that You have given us to feast, to learn, to grow, to be built, to be established, to be empowered. Let tonight be no different in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we commend and we commit this meeting tonight into Your able hands. We have come desperate to learn, passionate to receive, determined to be empowered. Help us, Holy Spirit. And as always, we vow that Jesus in all this will be glorified tonight. Amen and amen. God bless you. It's good to be here again. Give Jesus a big, big hand clap. Please be seated. Hallelujah. We'll be discussing a few things tonight. Usually, every time God grants an opportunity for us to be together, I look forward to these moments. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So I usually, every time God grants grace for us to share together, my passion and my commitment is to at least take a day out of that time to be able to help us. It is only by the word that we rise and we grow. Please pay attention. It is only by the word that we rise and we grow. In this kingdom, if you do not have access to the word of God, there is no possibility for growth. There is no other way earmarked for the believer's growth. Hallelujah. And you see, a church or a ministry, please look up, a church or a ministry cannot grow effectively until certain ingredients are captured. This is not my message, but since I've started, let me as well just pick it up from there. You have to understand that a ministry or a church does not just grow because the man of God is a good person or because he's a sincere person. No. Mark chapter 1. Please give us Mark chapter 1. Let's start from verse 21. Mark chapter 1. Long reading, but let's see how we can cut it. Mark chapter 1. The Bible says, speaking about Jesus now, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue. What did he do? He taught. He taught. So you see teaching, the teaching ministry of Jesus. Next verse. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Let's keep reading. The Bible says, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Notice all the things that are happening here now. So we see that he taught. In the process of teaching, something about the teaching exposed a spirit that was not clean. Are you getting there now? Until the teaching of the word came, the spirit mingled with everybody. Pastor Shagun, it's good to see you. God bless you. Hallelujah. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. Next verse. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold your peace and come out of him. So this is how to rebuke spirits. You don't rebuke spirits by counseling, by advices. You rebuke spirits by commanding their exodus out of their victim. Are we together? The Bible says, and when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were amazed. So two things now we see. We see teaching and we see deliverance from the power and the dominion of evil spirits. They question among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Be patient. I'm showing you something now. Immediately, how long? Immediately, his fame spread abroad. That means there is a way God announces what he's doing in a church and a ministry. You see the combination of the teaching ministry and the miraculous. But in order of priority, it was the teaching ministry. Not just to come around casting demons, there was perspective to that miracle. The teaching ministry, then an unclean spirit. Immediately, the Bible says his fame went abroad throughout the region round about Galilee. But you would think it would stop here. Continue. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. And Simon's wife's mother lay sick of fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her and she ministered to him. Do you know what this is? It's one thing to minister the power of God and for visitors and strangers to receive the power of God through your life. But it's another thing for those close to you to also experience that grace. This was Peter's mother-in-law, I think. Now imagine the power of that personal testimony. So this is not just some fake thing that is done outside somewhere. Even when he came home, his own disciples became benefactors of that grace also. And at evening, watch this now, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And the city, hallelujah, this is it here. And the city, not the village, not the community, the whole city was gathered together at the door. What did he do with them? And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases. So we see the teaching of the word captured in his ministry. We see deliverance from unclean spirits. We see healing of diverse kinds of sickness. Are we together? He casted out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Read on, please. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Are you seeing the ingredients now? The teaching ministry there, and then deliverance, the healing ministry. Now we see priesthood captured there. The prayer ministry. You would think after such exploits, there's no need to pray again. You would be so carried away by the crowd. The Bible says, while it was morning, he got up immediately and went to a solitary place to pray. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Next verse. And Simon and they that were with him, all who are with you will follow you to where you are going. If you are going to the place of prayer, you don't tell them, go and pray. You lead them by going there yourself. This is an instruction. A principle in church growth. If you tell people fast and you don't fast, they will not follow you. They were following Jesus as he was going to pray. You must be the pace setter of your convictions. Otherwise, people will not follow you. Is someone learning now? And Simon, please go back to 36. Simon and they that were with him followed after him to go and do what he was doing. 37. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. We can stop here. So if you want to see growth and increase, you're a pastor, you have a prayer group, the secret is more than just producing posters. There is a place for publicity. But the real ingredients that are required is that the gospel must be preached, doctrine must be taught or communicated, there must be a rich capture of prayer in that ministry. Are we together? And then you must give allowance for signs and wonders. Human beings will not come and waste their time around a theoretical God and keep going back to their pain, going back to their destruction. People want to experience God in his fullness. They want, after your teaching, after your preaching, they want to see a demonstration. And when I talk of demonstration, I'm not just talking of falling up and down. I'm talking about radical transformation. A collision with supernatural solutions. That someone can come and sit in an atmosphere like this and get up and doors begin to open. Lives begin to change. You cannot run away from what works. Therefore, if you are not experiencing growth, maybe in ministry, the problem may not necessarily be the church. It may be the vessel. The first port of call is the vessel. Jesus taught. Jesus preached. Listen carefully. Jesus casted out devils. Look at how he managed fame. His fame went abroad. And yet he was able to leave that atmosphere of fame and go to pray. To build capacity. I don't know why God just put this in my heart to say, because you see, there are many people who think increase is just superstition or just about liking an individual. It's more than just liking a good preacher, and it's more than being a sincere person. You may be a genuine man of God and still suffer as if God did not call you if these ingredients are not captured in your life. There is no mystery about church growth. If you preach the gospel, if you teach the word, doctrine being your course content, if at the point of teaching, God still uses you to bring deliverance to the captives, healing to the sick, and there is a rich prayer life, first your own prayer life, and then the corporate prayer life of that people, believe me, that fire will not go down. That means every time you see that there is a decline, these are the things to examine. Why should God keep sending more people if they are not being saved? There is no justification why God should send people to your church, to Koinonia, or to any other platform if souls are not being saved. Remember when a fig tree, Jesus now, had a fig tree that attracted him. He came there hungry and did not find food. What did he do to the fig tree? He cursed the fig tree and said, fruit should not come out of you again. There is no reason why God should bring men to any life if the message of the gospel will not be preached. And then if believers will not be established in doctrine, established in righteousness, to become strong, to become matured. Can I tell you this? Being a baby Christian is dangerous, especially in these end times. Just saying I am saved is not enough. An heir, as long as he's a child, he differeth not from a slave. That means his experience will still be the experience of one who is out of the kingdom. Hallelujah. We must grow. And the only way we grow in this kingdom is through the word of God. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Are we learning? And then you must trust God for grace. Please hear me. If you're a man of God here, whether in ministry already or God is calling you, can I tell you, among the many things you pray for is the grace for the supernatural. You ignore the supernatural, get ready for empty pews. End time ministry is a ministry of power. Power that is replicable again and again. It is not just the excellency of speech. Power to bring changes to people's lives. Power to bring supernatural solutions. Power to ward off the arsenals of darkness. Most people have done well in terms of learning scripture, but there is a gross deficiency of the authentic power of the Holy Ghost in their lives. Nobody will come and sit down and waste their time and waste their destiny before you if there is no demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because can I tell you, for everyone seated here listening to me, there are yokes and burdens. You cannot begin to imagine the problems that people shelve away just to pay attention to Jesus. And if you are advocating and marketing a loving and benevolent Jesus, somewhere in your sermon, somewhere in your church service, there must be an opportunity for the Holy Ghost to reveal the love of Jesus to the people. While he was teaching, there was a man possessed of an unclean spirit, and there was something powerful about the doctrine he was communicated. It was too hot for those spirits. They couldn't keep quiet. And Jesus casted those spirits out. When he did all of that, they brought more people for him. That is the reward you get for demonstrating the power of God. God honors you with more people, but with more people will come a need for greater solutions. So he went to pray to increase capacity again. Hallelujah. Are we learning? So next time anybody asks you what is the key to church growth, there is no superstition about it. It's not just an issue of location. It's not just an issue of geography. When there is the preaching of the gospel, the teaching of the word, a demonstration of the reality of the life and the power of Jesus, a solid, stable, ever-increasing priesthood ministry of prayer, you have found the ingredients that make for growth. Are we together now? Philippians chapter 4 verse 9. Let's talk on a few things. Don't know how many things I'll talk about tonight, but wherever we stop, we'll just pray. By the way, tomorrow's service is a miracle service. I'm sure you are aware of that. Praise the name of the Lord. And please, I want you, as much as God grants grace, let everyone know that God is healing, God is blessing. It starts by 5 on the dot so that we can work with time. And I understand there is a limit to, you know, the whole transport system so that we work with time. But 5 on the dot, we're here. And by God's grace, we thank God for the beauty of the screens for greater visual clarity. So we'll make sure that everyone is around. Please, 5 on the dot by God's grace. Let's start so that we can have some time to pray and then trust God for a very mighty time. Hallelujah. It says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, he says, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Those things which ye have learned. Now, this is powerful. There are some things that are learned. There are some things that are received. There are some things that are heard. There are some things that are seen. While the word of God is coming like this, there are different dimensions and operations of the word. Some of the things you will learn them because it is secular knowledge. You can gain that knowledge. But some of them are received as revelation. They cannot be taught. While the preacher is teaching, God is also telling you something. Out of that message will come a word for you. The things that are received. And there are things that are heard. There are things that are seen. It says, in whichever way they come, the most important thing is do. Let there be action attached to your knowledge. Do. And it says, whilst you do it, the God that ensures peace will be with you. That means it does not matter what you learn. It does not matter what you receive. It does not matter what you hear. It does not matter what you see. If there is no doing, the doing of faith, the doing of obedience, there is no guarantee that you will have a manifestation. Are we learning now? This is very important. So you are listening tonight. Some of you are learning. Some of you are receiving. Some of you are hearing. Some of you are seeing. The most important thing is that you obtain grace. That you do. You walk in keeping with these principles that you are learning, you are receiving, and he assures you that the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace shall be with you. I have been very concerned about the level of spiritual knowledge of the average believer, and I thought to bring this down home also to help us. Seeing and knowing that you're excelling in this kingdom is primarily predicated on the level of spiritual enlightenment that you have. Listen carefully. The Bible says that the God of this world has a principal assignment to blind the minds of people so that they are ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Are we together? Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. The prophet lamented and said, my people, speaking by the Spirit, are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Not lack of knowledge of what they want, but lack of knowledge of what it takes. Listen carefully. Most people know what they want, but you need to know what it takes to bring forth what you want. You want a life of peace. You want a life of glory. You want a life of beauty. You want a life of excellence. You want a life of ever increasing manifestation of God's power. Your needs are not new to you. But the Bible says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the requirements. What it takes to actualize what you desire. And it says, because thou hast rejected knowledge. Anything rejected means it was offered you. And then for whatever reason, you were able to reject it. And God will respect your right to choose. But there are consequences when you reject knowledge. Can I tell you this? I was talking to the School of Ministry students. We had a brief session yesterday. And I was encouraging them. Your life will not change just by default. Your life will not change just because you are a Christian in theory. It is going to require you having understanding, thorough knowledge and understanding of the ways of God thorough knowledge and understanding of the principles of the kingdom. Then on the strength of the knowledge and the understanding that you have, listen carefully, you now obtain grace, the grace to do, the grace to walk in keeping. Very simple in theory. So any area of my life that is not working, look up please. Any area of my life where I am not obtaining results, the Bible mandates that the first thing I do is to go for knowledge. Don't take action in ignorance. You will only recycle pain in your life. Action in ignorance only recycles pain. Action in ignorance only recycles pain. The first thing you need to do is to camp with God and get high level spiritual illumination. John 1 verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Many of you have heard me give this revelation. It is powerful how light works. Look up, please. A room that has been dark for 10 years, a room that has been dark for 2 weeks, a room that has been dark for 1 hour, a room that has been dark for 5 minutes, if you switch on the light in all the rooms, they will answer to the light at the same frequency. The room that has been dark for 1 year will not say, no, I need time because I've been dark for long. No. That means that even if you have been in darkness for 10 years, the moment light comes, the result and the dominion power of light is instant. Very powerful revelation. That you have dwelt in darkness for a very long time, and then the light of God's word comes in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You can be sure that this reign of darkness has gone forever. Whether it is in the area of your spiritual work, in the area of finances, in the area of your influence, kingdom service, whatever it is. That means if people do not make progress with their life, their retrogression, more than being traceable to demons, is traceable to the dominion power of darkness. Darkness creates stagnation. Listen carefully. Darkness creates stagnation. Darkness grounds a man at the same position. And I've told you that time does not change anything. Time only reveals. It takes access to light. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. Arise, shine, prophesy to yourself, say arise. One more time, shout it, say arise. It says arise, shine. Why? For your light is come. Not your light is around. It has always been there. Isn't it amazing that what can lift a man in one moment has always been there? But the day it comes to you, the day it comes to you, that is the day you arise and you shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Now, please listen to me. There is no overemphasizing the need for believers to pay attention to spiritual illumination. It is the only bailout system out of the darkness of this world. Look up, please. Many of us come from families where no one has been able to rise beyond a certain level. Is that true? Many of us have come from families ravaged by all kinds of demonic things, yokes, curses, all sorts of things. Some of you are not even aware of the full extent of the evil that surrounds your life and the territory there. Your immunity is the word of God. Now, the challenge with many believers is that the moment they get born again, they just start going to church religiously, just doing church as we know it, religiosity, and then they never pay attention to grow. And for many reasons, I think there are a number of reasons why people don't grow. Number one, they think they are still young. The first reason why people do not contend for passion to grow is because someone else is giving a harvest to a seed you are not sowing. So because you always receive a harvest, whether you are sowing or not, it gives you a justification that there is still time. Lamentations chapter 3, and I think it's verse 27. It said, it is good that a man bear his yoke in his youth. This is my recommendation, that you use time for your advantage. Many people do not contend for spiritual growth or growth in every area of their life because, you see, once people are growing up, the responsibility of parenthood demands that you are there for your child while he's growing financially and otherwise. And chances are that just because there's someone giving you money, there's someone paying, you can make all kinds of mistakes and there are people shouldering it for you. You may not have been exposed to see the full effect of not understanding or not having high level spiritual illumination. Can I tell you, this is why many young men become utterly frustrated the moment they are left alone. Because they have been shielded for many years. They don't know which result came from their faith and which one came from the covering on them. So for many years, the gentleman is not fasting, he's not praying, he's not studying the word of God, he's not serious, yet he's increasing financially, yet doors are opening for him. Then the day you are now exposed and you have to stand by your own faith, you will find out you are still a baby Christian. You were only leaning on the shoulder of parents. I found out that the first reason people do not want to grow in life is because they have been covered and shielded from seeing the effect that lack of growth brings to their lives. Is God speaking to someone already? Yes. Why should I be faithful in keeping financial principles, for instance, for my increase and my lifting, when I have maybe some pocket money coming, when I have some money coming from some loved one? Whether I pray or not, is coming. So when we are teaching things about favor, when we are teaching things about diligence, chances are that that message will not really mean anything to you. You just say amen when everybody is saying amen. But somebody who knew where he came from, hallelujah, that person will easily receive. Can I tell you, there is a measure of pain that is a blessing. Because pain sometimes has a way of creating passion. Don't be too quick to stop pain in people. Listen to me. I'm not just talking of demonic oppression. There is a pain factor that can wake people up in life. The prodigal son, it was pain that woke him up. The Bible says he came to himself. Not that the Holy Ghost spoke to him. Not that the Spirit spoke to him. Pain can make men come to themselves. Study your Bible. No, I will study one day. And then one day, the person who becomes your principal breadwinner now says, from today, I'm not helping you again. 2 weeks of utter frustration. By yourself, you will look for a forest to pray. By yourself, you will create all the excuses. It is raining. It is too hot. There is a pain factor that can go and close you somewhere. That night, without strings, without keyboard, you will do the praise and worship by yourself. You will pray by yourself. Most people in our generation have been too pampered to become powerful. Too pampered to become powerful. You are lazy spiritually. People give excuses. They say, you know the way these people are, the way life, you are so busy. And we continue to receive all kinds of justification. Discipline yourself and buy books. I won't buy books. My daddy said he will buy me books. You see that kind of thinking. So time is going, and the things you should have learned with the gift of time given to you, time is passing, but the corresponding knowledge is not coming. Please listen to what I'm teaching you tonight. It's a very, very powerful teaching. It is good for a man that he bear his yoke in his youth. There are people, respectfully speaking, there are parents who, when they are fasting, they tell the children, don't fast, you are too small. But demons don't say the children are too small to possess them. A little child of 5 years old can kill 10 people before they deliver him.
and you ask the child, who did you kill? He will start mentioning he had that level of skill. And yet to fast, even if it's 6 to 12, is a problem. What of morning devotion? Or night devotion, whichever one. Devotion, that's the most important thing. Many people, you are laughing, many people are not serious with God. Don't sit down and expect results from an investment you did not make spiritually. No, sir. God is a just God. There are people today, the only time they open their Bible is when they come to church. And now that we have electronic platforms like this, some don't even open it at all. Everything, do it for me. Everything, do it for me. So, a sense of responsibility, zero. Spirituality, zero. Everything, zero. Can I tell you the truth? There is a requisite level of investment in knowledge you will need to build capacity for the days that come. I have been warning people for a very long time. Jesus said, I will walk the walks of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man will walk again. You don't have the time all the time. No. For instance, if you are a young man who came from a family where there is a divide as to spirituality, by the time you are on campus and you are in school, that is an opportunity to build your life. Because ordinarily at home, they may not allow you to pray that prayer. Now you keep wasting your time. Social center and all these things, 100 level, time is passing. God is watching, your destiny is also watching. 200 level. Some of your colleagues who may never be allowed to pray. Do you know there are some of you, if you were at home, you will never be allowed to go to certain meetings. You will not be allowed to carry out certain spiritual exercises. God now brought you out of your family using the guise of school, so that he can give you 5 years to build the capacity that your destiny needs. But many people continue to waste their time. And I tell you, the spirit of the waster is alive, especially in this, our arrogant generation. Time is going. Now you are in 400 level, for instance. The only thing you know is what they taught you in class. Relationship zero. You have not had friends. You've not made friends, godly friends, that can become a ladder for your destiny. And the Holy Spirit keeps warning you. People invite you for strategic programs, you don't care. Because in your mind, I have an uncle in NMPC or an uncle in a Shell. He promised me that as soon as I finish, I will get a job. And then just when you are writing your final year, he will relocate to Canada. Woe to him that puts his strength in a man. Please pay attention. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you again. There are some of you, God disguised, he brought you to Zaria to come and stay maybe with a family to work or to learn certain things. And you may be wondering, God, but why didn't you take me to Lagos and other places? God is saying, you are only here for 3 years. Use that 3 years well. This 3 years is the answer to the prayer that you've prayed in one prayer and fasting and said, Lord, I want to have a great destiny. In these 3 years, maximize the time. There are people who encountered God in their spillover year. It was in that frustration they were strolling around like madmen around their various campuses, and the Holy Ghost landed upon them. And they now said, Lord, thank you that I have a few more weeks to stretch it out in destiny. Everybody say knowledge. Can I tell you? My first assignment for you tonight is, can you list the 5 people who are currently wasting your time and wasting your destiny right now? I'm not saying write it. List it in your mind. 5 things, the 5 top things that are wasting your time and wasting your destiny and not allowing you to access the kind of knowledge that you need. For some of us, it may be movies and media and social media. For some of us, it may be friends. For some of us, it may be laziness and carelessness. Oh, I don't have money. One day God led you to a fellowship where they shared free books. 5 keys to building your faith. You looked at the person who wrote it and said, look at this guy, there's nothing faith on him. And you drop the book instead of you to open up your spirit and learn. Somebody who has 4/10, you who has 0, who is better? So when I tell you this, our generation is arrogant, I know what I'm saying. People who have no results, but they are the ones who sit down vetting the performance of those who are at least doing something. Someone who is trying and praying for 1 hour, you whose prayer life is under attack, what gives you the credence to talk about that person's prayer life? Koinonia is quiet. Useless friends that waste your time, don't allow you to spend time with God. Why should you feel sorry for saying, sorry, I cannot see you now. I'm spending some time with God in prayer, or I'm meditating, or I'm just resting. Can I tell you this? You must love your future more than your reputation. If you love your reputation more than your future, you are not going to get there. I assure you. It is better to be controversial and advanced than to sit down to try to please everybody and stagnate yourself forever. How about your passion for God? I'm yours forever. I'm yours. My life is yours, it's yours forever, it's yours. I looked at the photo of a man that I used to know many years ago. I was, you know, just browsing the internet, and he had become an old man today. Tears came out of my eyes. I said, time is really passing on. I looked at my own picture. My own picture, Joshua Selman. I couldn't have believed I've grown this much. Go and look at your picture. And then you will never tell yourself I'm young again. You will give yourself the pressure. If it is knowledge you need to get, if it's 1 week fasting you need to fast, better do it now. It will not kill you. Father, I need knowledge. High level spiritual illumination. I came from a family where no one has risen. I came from a family where the only scripture we know is John 3:16. I'm ready to upgrade myself. That my destiny is calling me. And this will be a period. Some of you are in a spiritual probation period right now. I don't know if he was here or in Abuja, I was teaching. Listen. Okay, I think it was a 4 square meeting or so. If you have 2 people, listen to me. Let's assume one person is 30 years or 40 years. And another gentleman is maybe 19 years or 20 years. The guy who is 20 years can afford to make all kinds of mistakes and do whatever he wants to do with his life. He can correct his, he can listen to a powerful sermon when he's 25. And adjust. He's still in his morning stage. You who is 35 or 40, that is not even the afternoon, is the later part of afternoon. Are we together? You cannot afford to be pursuing life at the same pace with that person. Please wake up. I'm speaking to you by the Spirit. The greatest unbecoming of our generation is this fallacy of I am young. Pray, I am young. Fast, I am young. Go for the word, I am young. When he spoke to Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, I am but a child. Jeremiah 1 verse 5. He said, say not that I am a child. Conquered that demon of trying to excuse all kinds of things, saying there is time. Is someone learning now? I've told you, in my world, an adult is not 18 years. In my world, an adult is anybody who has the intuitiveness to understand what I'm saying and has the stamina to be able to bear the consequence of action. Once you are that person, you are an adult, whether you believe it or not. That's why when we give gifts to children here, I tell you the age. Age 1 to 10. Everybody say knowledge. You have to identify the time and destiny wasters in your life. Otherwise, you are not going anywhere. My precious people, please listen to me. I'm preaching to you from the depth of my heart. If you cannot identify the people and the things that waste your time and waste your destiny, there is no advancement for you. Time wasters. Do not be afraid of being controversial. Let them call you Mother Mary. Let them call you, you are whatever. No problem. This thing called future. Everybody will get there. It's like in a class. Nobody writes exam for another person. Except you are doing malpractice. And if they catch you, you're on your way out. So while you are preparing for the exam of your destiny, don't let someone act as if he's going to write the exam for you. By the time you have 3, 4, 5 children and you cannot feed them, by the time your spiritual life goes down, by the time demons attack your family and you don't have the spiritual stamina to bring deliverance to them, nobody will come and do it for you. You need to begin to build that stamina now. Young lady, look at me. Are you building the stamina for your destiny? Or you are building hair, makeup? Those things are not wrong. Don't get me wrong. But if that's all you are building, you are about to waste your destiny. Gentlemen, are you building apps and IT and all of those things, or you are settling down to build capacity? A day will come, your stamina will be tested no matter who you are. Listen to what I'm telling you. For as long as you are alive on earth, you can't pray it away. A day will come, your stamina will be tested. Your spiritual stamina, your financial stamina, your mental stamina. It will be on the strength of the knowledge that you have. That's what will give you stability.
I'm tired of the status quo. There's gotta be more than this. There's gotta be more, gotta be more. There's gotta be more than this. For desperate people do desperate things, and we press in. There's gotta be more, gotta be more. There's gotta be more than this.
Everybody say knowledge. My people are destroyed. In Luke chapter 19, 41 and 42, one of the major reasons Jesus cried and wept over a city. Why did he weep over it? His lamentation was based on verse 42. He said, if thou hast known, at least in this thy day, the things which belong to your peace, the things which belong to your spiritual excellence, the things which belong to your financial advancement, he says, but now they are hid from your eyes. Can I tell you something about the deception of knowledge? Just because you are around an information does not mean you are receiving it. Many people were around Jesus. I've taught you this here. You can choose what to do when you are around the truth. Others can make money from the truth. Judas. Others can run away from the truth. But others can allow themselves to be transformed by the truth. The choice is yours to know what to do with the truth. Knowledge. I remain a student in the school of knowledge. I like to know what I do not know, because I don't have the time. I'm telling you, if you are not conscious of the fact that time is going in your life, you will not grow. Today, in the name of public figure or the name of whatever it is, I've almost lost a very major sense of my personal life and privacy, all in the name of supposed public figure. If you see me stand by the junction to peacefully buy corn now, you will waylay me and kneel down there and say, Apostle, I've been trying to see. You see that? But there was a time I could go alone without disturbance. Whatever I did with that time is what will speak now. Young lady, remember once upon a time you didn't have children. Now you have two or three children. You can't pray for 5 minutes. They don't care. They will bang your door and say, open that door. As you are praying, they will tear the Bible. They will smash your phone. Motherhood has come in. God warned you and said, use this opportunity now and build capacity. For some of you, let me speak to you prophetically. You are like Elijah. Wake up and eat. The journey is far. Wake up and eat. Eat on behalf of your family. Wake up and eat. Eat on behalf of your destiny. Man of God in the making, hear me. I'm speaking to you by the Spirit. Wake up and eat. If you wake up in the night, you will not die. Wake up and eat. The journey is far. You will go in the strength of what you have eaten. Elijah did not know how far he was going to go. He ate a little and went back to sleep. The angel tapped him for his own good. He said, wake up, eat again. Some of you may need to go back to your old notes. Faith 101. Start learning it again. Just because it's foundational does not mean it is mediocre. You need to revisit those things again. Do you know? Please, if you can't listen to my message, Maximizing Personal Retreats. It's a very powerful message. Don't wait until there is a corporate time of spiritual emphasis for your spiritual emphasis. There are times you can take a day or 2 days or a week. All you are doing is revisiting your old notes. Those were the things God told you before you became MOG. Those were the principles that you learned. How faith works. Principles of prayer. How to withstand every wiles of the enemy. How to engage the word of God. Some of you, even today, you don't even speak the word of God again because it's for children. And it has become to your detriment. I am blessed. I'm increasing. I'm prosperous. You love, and that is kindergarten Christianity. Go back and begin to deal with these things again. Is God speaking to us? Can I tell you, the average believer, if you have been around this ministry or around this city for at least 5 years, you have no excuse for ignorance. Because by the privilege of God's grace, there has been a high level of spiritual illumination. Do you know, and I'm saying this sincerely, most people listen to the messages that I used to teach years ago in Koinonia. And they send me text messages and they say, this is what has changed my life. And sometimes I nod my head. I say, oh dear, this is what I taught my precious people 6 years ago, 7 years ago. Some people listen to it, they just dumped it away. But someone is now finding it and is becoming gold. Do you know why? Refer to what I said earlier. Pain can wake you and make something you trivialize become serious. When God is teaching you about finance, the economic system of the kingdom, you can throw it away and say, it doesn't matter. All I need to do is to learn how to pray and fast, and finances will magically come into my life. The day you suffer in a way that looks like God does not exist, like the prodigal son, you come to yourself. You will go back and fish out any book where God has spoken to you up, and you sit down and learn. You can see your elder siblings and insult them and say their lives are not moving forward. Shame on them. Until the day what appeared to them appears to you. And say, now that you have reached 35, I'm here to introduce myself. That I'm the one who scattered your father. I'm the one who destroyed everybody in your family. And now that, happy birthday first. And then he will now let you know. That's when you will now go back and go and listen to the mystery of exemption. They're teaching the mystery of deliverance. I don't know how many years ago that message was preached here. Till today, till tomorrow, that teaching continues to liberate nations. What many people trivialized doesn't matter until you sleep one day and you almost cannot wake up again because something presses the living daylight out of you and makes sure you will not wake up. That day you now wake up and say, ah, so there is something called oppression. Some of you may never know the advantage of favor. When we teach about favor, you laugh because all your roommates are from Koinonia. And you think that's how it will be. Then the first job they give you, you are the only Christian, serious Christian in the midst of wolves. You say in Jesus' name, they say, let that not come out of your mouth again. And then you say, okay. Now you will understand the scripture that says, when a man's ways pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Can I tell you sincerely, there are many people who do not benefit from certain teachings because there is a level of innocence. They have not been exposed to the reality of life. So you will not understand some of the things that God said in scripture here. But I'm praying for you that you don't have to wait until darkness comes upon you. Do not make the mistake of the five foolish virgins. They were all virgins, but the mistake of the five foolish ones was they did not carry extra oil. When the bridegroom delayed, their oil finished. There were people who would buy it. They had money to buy it. They did not buy it. He said, go to them that sell and buy. Now God is giving you a chance. You have not gotten to any dark days where you will need this. Now please don't feel bad. There are people who would never have believed that their loved ones would go to be with the Lord at this time. Nobody prays for anybody to die. Nobody prays for anyone to go. But there are families who, it was a shock. All of a sudden, daddy gone, mommy gone. Now they are exposed alone. It is the residue of what you know and you have that will preserve you in the days that come. I went around Graceland today just briefly, just to see what happened. And I just, as I stood there and I just looked at everything that happened, I just said, my God, I pray that the people who were victims of this, do they have sufficient illumination to be able to bail them? Time and chance happened to them all. But it is what you know that preserves you. Don't wait until the day that a doctor says, it looks like there's something. Pain that you thought it was just a sprain. They say it looks like something is growing there. Let's test first. And then they say something you don't like. That's the day you go and start learning on healing and health. That's too late. You don't learn when there is trouble. No, you archive, you build a solid spiritual fortification. Is God speaking to you today? There are people who never paid attention to spiritual things. When we were teaching about fruitfulness, all wise, during miracle service, we are preaching and prophesying and saying, in Jesus' name, be fruitful. Lay your hands on your womb. Say, I will never be barren. You see, we're just laughing and laughing at others. They don't know it's a demonic spirit. It's a waster. 10 years down the line, you find out that because God gave you an opportunity to receive, you wasted it. Now, something that you would have received easily, you have to travel and go miles and distances to go and look for a man of God before he now prays for you. The worst one right now is the issue of finances. Can I be honest with you? The times that we live in right now, the level of financial, what's the word now? Financial tsunami. We said this thing years ago, that this storm was coming. The immunity is not just to do business. The immunity is to learn the ways of the kingdom. We kept pounding it, and in a way we acted like fools. We took our time to teach. I taught financial dominion. I taught the wealthy place. I taught, you know, extraordinary fruitfulness, different things, success systems, all to equip us for these days. Many people did not pay attention to it. Again, I am young syndrome. One day I will face it. One day I will face it. Can I tell you the truth? The adult today was the child yesterday. The teenager today, I returned to Zaria and I saw some of my wonderful children. I wanted to run away. What in the world is going on? Some of them are taller than their parents now. Welcome to the reality called life. One day you will stand at the mirror and almost want to run away and say you are not the one.
But life will say you are the one. Ready or not. Prepared or not. I don't want to live my life in misery and pain because of negligence to opportunities and the truth of God's word. They had the word just like we did, but the word did not profit them. It is possible for the word to not profit you. If you do not contend, use this season and settle down and go for specific knowledge, high level spiritual illumination in the various areas of your life where you find out that there is darkness. How do you know the areas you need light? By observing the reign of darkness. If you find out that for this year there has been issues of darkness in your health, it looks like you have been, every other month you are sick, don't feel bad, don't feel condemned, but go back and you see, the internet has helped us and created a template, healing scriptures. Look, there are people who have labored and gone through these things for you already. He keepeth his bones so that none is broken. Confess that scripture, because of the kind of drivers we have in this world now. Confess that scripture. A thousand shall fall by my side, 10,000 by my right side. None shall hurt me. With my eyes shall I see and behold the reward of the wicked. You declared, the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. In the name of Jesus, the fullness of my days I fulfill. No devil anywhere will come and use enchantment to cut my life. No. I have no covenant with death. Don't wait until the day you are quarter to go. You stand and build spiritual fortification. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid of? Don't wait until the day you hear that there is terrorism around and that they kidnap this, they kidnap that. Then you now start scamping around and you are watching. No, no. Build yourself. Build yourself. There is nowhere you will run to that you will really find safety. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. That is the real strong tower. The righteous runneth to it and they are safe. Hallelujah. Are we together? Question. If you have a bad dream, look up please, believers. I hope those outside are following. Say hallelujah. If you wake up right now to a bad dream, let's assume you go to bed and you see yourself inside a coffin. Ladies and gentlemen, what spiritual approach have you learned to deal with that situation? What are you going to do when you wake up? God forbid, you are joking. I know it's funny what I'm saying, but listen, the reality of the times that we're living in now require that you understand the specifics connected to the results that God says would be produced in your life. If you get up today, God forbid, and you find out that you probably did not get the kind of job you are looking for, show me the scripture and show me the revelation you have to protect you and immune you from poverty and a life of penury and pain. Show it to me. If you get married, God forbid, and all of a sudden you find out that your wife is unable to take in, show me what scripture you know that you have learned that you can engage. If you get into an office and someone vows and says, look, my grandfather is a herbalist, my father is a herbalist, me myself, they just did my own induction, and we are in this office together, I will destroy you, and the person means it. Don't just say it will not happen. Show me. Many people have made blind boasts and suffered casualties. Ladies and gentlemen, give me the basis of your confidence that you will thrive in Nigeria. In the midst of all the evil, the sentiment, and the wickedness that plagues our land. Parents, what gives you the guarantee that your children will not be armed robbers? The cane you are hanging in your house?
Do you know? I now know why many people get angry in the afternoon stage of their lives and they just fold the file over everything Jesus. You know why most of these are parents, lovingly speaking, just turn away from anything God now? Because haven't sat in church for many years, haven't participated in fasting programs, prayer programs, they've fallen under the anointing, they went, attended crusades. By the time they now look at their lives, 45, 50, 55, it is almost the same destiny as the person who started destroying his life as a teenager. And they now say, what then was the value of all the things that I went through? That is what I want to stop in your life. And it will not happen just by a good intention. It happens by the word. And without him was not anything made that was made. Young man, you believe you have the call of God upon your life. Oh, I'm going to go to the nations. Tell me how. One of my uncle in Canada said that just when I graduate, there's one church, they've kept a space for me. Oh, how foolish. What makes you believe that you will rise and become a global voice speaking the purposes of God? Have you read Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1 and 2? Do you believe it? That you shall be exalted above the nations of the earth and this blessing shall come upon you and overtake you. Do you believe it? Knowledge. It's time for us to take away all of the flimsy excuses that we continue to give. We need high level knowledge. High level spiritual knowledge. On the specific areas of our lives and destinies. So that we do not leave it to chance. Have you found the keys that make for a robust spiritual life? If yes, can you list them for me? What do I need to do to remain spiritual and on fire? Go to church, be tithing, pray? No. You've not answered the question. See, this is what spiritual maturity is about. If you don't have answers to these questions, it cannot be said that you are matured. Our welfare department, I like to use examples of cooking. God has blessed our welfare department with incredible people, chefs, and you know, people who really cook very well. And every time I have the privilege of eating their food, I am amazed at the level of intention and mastery and artistry that goes into what they are doing. And they remind me of how inadequate I am as far as that providing that kind of result is concerned. But do you know, the reason why I may not be able to cook like them is because I'm not serious about it, period. Do you agree with me? The day I mean business and I now say I want to cook like them, all of the arsenals that can help me achieve that is already there. It will now be me pursuing it with intention and fire. Do you know the miracle about life? People can evolve to superior versions of themselves at the instance of their determination. You can start January as a prayerless person. You can start as a wordless person. But you can make up your mind. For some of you, tonight can be a time that you make up your mind and say, by December 31st, there are some things that must have happened in my life. My spiritual fire, the manifestation of favor. I prayed for favor for 1 month. I studied about favor for 1 month. Because I didn't want a situation where I become frustrated, constrained, maybe because of finances, and not be able to do what God asked me to do. I found out that favor was part of the ingredients required, especially for the kind of ministry God was committing to me. And I humbled myself to learn because I didn't know anything about it. And my goodness, when I found it, I knew I found it. If you are not finding, it's because you did not sow the seed of seeking. It is only those who seek that find. Koinonia, are we together tonight? I have brought a word from the depth of my spirit. For some of us, the way we are moving about our life, believe me, I do not mean to be a prophet of doom, but failure and defeat is almost imminent if you do not change from the path you are taking now. You are compromising on, you are trivializing the need for knowledge. And I've helped to identify one of the major reasons I am young. The deception of our generation. There is still time. I can learn any day. I'm too busy. I was watching one old Koinonia. I don't know how the Koinonia video came up. And someone sent it and I looked at myself and wanted to scream. I saw some of the faces here. As matured as we thought we were, you look at that photo and you want to laugh. You say, my goodness, look at this. 10 years from now, we'll look at this today, what we are doing, and still laugh at it again. When I came down from the vehicle walking here, I was almost going to stand and tears would just come out of my eyes and say, my God. The time you are playing with now, you may not have it again. You have to go back, get your Bible, shut down on this excessive lust for movies, social media, useless things that are not profitable for your destiny, and open up scripture. You can decide to use the remaining October, November, December. This October now, your project can be your spiritual growth. To cover for my spiritual stuntedness, I will obtain grace to be fasting 2 times a week. It may not be so forever, but for now, you put yourself in that program and you tell yourself, I must pray minimum 2 or 3 hours every day. It's a discipline. By the time you begin to grow, you are trying to recover, to gain time. Once every week, now that maybe for those, if they give a little room, there's some holiday or whatever it is, you maximize that moment. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we did. Every opportunity God gave was not a waste. It was diligently invested. In the last 1 week, how many of you have bought books? Almost no. People don't even buy books again. Whether e-versions or whatever it is. No, people are not learning. I will not be surprised if there are believers seated here right now who don't even have Bibles. You ask them, they say, I was on my way going somewhere and my bag fell down. And every other thing that you lost, you bought it back except the Bible. It just tells you did not place priority on it. I found your word and I did eat it. It was a joy and a rejoicing to my soul. And without him was not anything made that was made. Some of you here, you were more on fire for God while you were on campus than you are now. Some were even fellowship, maybe presidents, leaders, and today, everything gone. The Lord is speaking to you tonight. It is time to take your spiritual life and every other aspect of your life serious. This is my simple message. So we'll not just come and do a miracle service. No, I just felt to emphasize this. Please hear me. Please hear me. Prayer groups, ministries connected here, churches, go back and emphasize to your members. Emphasize the need to sit down and use these moments now. Do not let the fire on your altar go down. Do not allow gluttony to destroy the grace to fast and pray. It's too early for that kind of thing. Do not allow yourself to get to a point where you are carried away. And can I tell you, for some of you who have begun to have open doors ministration here and there, be careful. There is a temptation that happens to people when they begin to go forward. It is the temptation of complacency. Be careful. The moment they invite you for one ministration, oh, preach here, preach in this fellowship, preach there, chances are that the devil can tell you have arrived. Why then do you need to pray again? Learn from Jesus. After a powerful crusade, while it was morning, he resorted to a solitary place and there prayed. Prayed for the next level. Pray for the next level of grace. Don't compare yourself with people around and say, I am better than this one. I pray more than this. I study more than this. I have rhema. The Bible said they comparing themselves with themselves are not wise. I want to see Koinonia here produce results, and that by the word. It is my greatest desire to see everyone. I was speaking to my precious people, the School of Ministry students yesterday, and I was telling them, do not let anybody look down on you. Maybe I should use that to wrap up my brief session with you this night. Do not let anybody, ladies and gentlemen, please look at me. God used my life and God used Zaria to teach us and show us that if you take God seriously, right from where you are, He can take you to the nations. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? This is a word of encouragement for someone. Don't let no devil lie to you and say there is no ceiling in your house. You are staying in one house. You are drinking well water. So what? It is not what happens around you. It is the capacity that you are building within your spirit, man. Run away from living a fake life and settle with destiny. You may take garri, but take it with honor. You may have one shirt, one trouser, no problem. Take it with honor. Keep sharpening yourself. And tomorrow the nations will stand and call you blessed. All of those who have the call of God here, seated and outside listening to me, let me speak to you. Do not let anybody despise your grace. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Also, don't be proud. Let me balance it. Because many younger ministers who are rising, this cancer of pride, repent from it quickly before it tears you like a wild animal. Oh, I can prophesy. I called her name. I said, Jane. She said, yes. Sit down and learn scripture before the devil uses that thing to destroy you. Oh, I was ordained a pastor. Now I'm a pastor, or I'm a prophet, or I'm an apostle. Sit down and learn. Don't let anybody despise you. But also beware, when God begins to expose you, you can get into the temptation of arrival mentality, big man. You no longer can kneel before God the way He was before He found you. Now you are big. When you stand, God, why will I kneel? It's not the trouser I wore yesterday that I'm wearing again. And God says, nonsense. Let me show you what has happened to people who behave like you. Most young people don't listen to instructions. They don't do anything. When God begins to use them and begins to bless them, this pride just comes in. No. Resist it. Be the young man that wins. Learn from those who have made these mistakes. Don't condemn anybody, but learn and tell yourself, I will get it right. I will use the scars and the pain of those who have gone ahead of me. And where they have made mistakes, they have been honest enough to show me their scars. I will jump and make it right and get it right. Is God speaking to someone here? Don't just come and sit down in Koinonia just when Joshua Selman is around. It's hypocrisy. You have to open up your heart to Jesus, the rabbi, who uses any vessel He so pleases to teach you. The day your word can come, it may not come through Joshua Selman. And if you are too big to listen to any other person, then down you go until you join many who have chosen to learn the hard way. Is God speaking to us now? We must commit ourselves in truth and take God seriously. And you must be careful. There are well-meaning, sincere people who would destroy you by giving you an advice. Take it easy. Not at this age. Not at this age. There is a level of aggression you give life. When one door closes, you force another one to open. You don't sit down and hope that things work for you. Is God speaking to us tonight? I think I see what I'm giving tonight as just instructions. It's like an admonishment. It's not really a session. It's me coming to pour my heart to tell you, God is giving many of you another chance again. Because the way you are going about your destiny, you are already messing up. And if you continue in that trajectory, you are going to land in trouble. And God is already calling you to order. To say, get your life back. Get your life back. Get your life back. Get your life back. Get your prayer life back. Get your knowledge bank back again. Go and meet Oga Jordan. Buy buy books. The money that you get, buy books and settle down. Get a flash. Let the media department give you these teachings. Go and settle down. They have arranged it for you already. Spiritual life, success, finances, destiny. Go and camp with it. God, why am I here? I'm tired of escorting people around, not knowing where I'm going. Time is going. And whilst you stay in the middle of the night, the voice of His Majesty comes. He says, right, I want to show you the blueprint of your destiny now. Everybody who found destiny and found purpose, they did not get it crossing their legs and hoping that God speaks to them. It takes desire. It takes hunger. While others are sleeping, you are awake. Speak, oh God, there are destinies upon my shoulder. Hallelujah. And you are here. In fact, I think this is the best place to do an altar call now. Before, sit down. Because in this kingdom, you strike when the iron is hot. Listen, there are some of you here. While you are hearing me speak now, inside and outside, the Lord Jesus is telling you it's time to take Him seriously. You may have been around church. You don't care. You don't send anything. So you say, can I tell you, a day will come no matter who you are. As Pharaoh, as Herod, days will come when you will not be in control of your situation. It is time to run to Jesus and mean business with Him. And say, Lord, I come with every sense of contriteness and brokenness. It is time to make it right with you. And there are others who are saying, I just need a rededication and a renewal. I think before I continue, our time is gone. If you belong to that category, Overflow 1 and this, the main auditorium, Overflow 2 and Overflow 3 and all the other overflows, you can go out to the front of your screen. But if you are here right now, please leave your seat and run. Come and stand here. If you are in this place now, seated, don't sit down and be waiting and waiting for someone to come. God is calling you, get up and run. Come to Jesus. That this is the beginning of my life. I need to correct this and get things right now. Leave your seat and come. Let's celebrate them as they come. Please take it serious. This is not just the issue of coming before the altar just for a blind altar call. This is your destiny. This is the destiny of your children's children. Come. Come. Don't allow anybody to stop you. Make your way and come. Those outside the overflows, make sure you are moving to your screen. Overflow 3, all the overflows. Run to Jesus. Apostle, I want to come, but I am ashamed. Please stand up and come. This is for your life. This is for your destiny. If you are coming, please run. Run like there's fire on the mountain and come and stand before Jesus. And all of us who are here, please begin to pray. Don't just look at me. Let's pray. Tonight looks like a chastisement, but the Lord is bringing it out of a heart of love to help us. Before we even pray for those who are here, everyone, please pray for yourself. As you are seated right now, cry before God. It's time to move forward. It's time to make definite progress in my life and destiny.
I will never be the same. Touch your grace. My life is changed. I will never be the same. Touch your grace. My life is changed. My life.
Make sure you are praying for yourself. We'll soon pray for those who came out. But cry to God for the sake of your destiny. Lord, enough is enough. It's time for my destiny to go forward. It's time to break through the limitations of culture. Break through the limitations of weaknesses. Break through the limitations of all the barriers that stand before me. I am ready to go for knowledge. I am ready to contend for high level spiritual illumination. Hallelujah. Let me make the altar call and then we'll spend 5 minutes to pray. We have to pray. We have to pray. I salute every one of you who is standing here. All those standing at the overflow, may the Lord bless you. Please lift your right hand if you are here in front. And those following from your screen, and you who is watching in your home or wherever, your home, your office, you are listening, I'd like you to open up your heart. Pray this prayer. You need Jesus. Now is the moment. Today is the day. Please lift your hand, those of you in front, high above your head. I want you to say this passionately. Say after me, say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I hand over my destiny to you. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again for my justification. I receive forgiveness of sin. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And I declare that I am a child of God. I cut away from everything that takes me back. I go forward ever and backward never. In the name of Jesus. Now, just a moment, let me pray for these dear people. Father, thank you so much for our beloved brethren, brothers and sisters who have become part of the fold by their confession. Lord Jesus, let this be the beginning of a new season for them. In the name of Jesus, I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave, let it be broken from your life forever. Any wrong association in your life that will not let you serve God, I cut you away from them. Let tonight be the beginning of a new season for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Hold on. Please, everyone, hold on in Jesus' name. Now, all of you who came out, those who are at the overflow and those who are here in the main auditorium, very quickly, I'd like you to follow our counselors, our officials, just for a few minutes. They'll have your details and you'll rush and come back and join us as we pray. Please wave your hands. You can follow either of the aisles here or here. Let's celebrate them as they go. Those outside, Koinonia, is this the best you can do? Please celebrate them as they go. Please politely follow the ushers as they lead you. Just follow them. They will have your details very quickly. And then you will return. Follow them. They will get your details and you will return. Hallelujah. The Bible says, seeing then that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth easily beset us, and that we run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and even despised the shame. Are you ready to pray? Our time is gone, but in the next 5 minutes, you are alone with your destiny. I want you to cry to the God of heaven and ask him, Lord, visit me. Give me access to knowledge. Access to knowledge. High level spiritual illumination for the sake of my destiny. Someone is praying. Shamakata bakarakotos koto pradega delegata. Pray. Grace to take my destiny seriously. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I acted like a child. I understood like a child. He says, now that I am a man, I lay aside childish things. Are you praying? Are you praying? Lift your voice and pray. In the name of Jesus, hear me. You are going to pray. The spirit that wastes destinies, that by the power of the blood caused that spirit over your life, the waste of the times of men, the waste of the destinies of men. Declare by the power of the Holy Spirit, I am making advancement. Go ahead and pray. spiritually, financially, relationally, in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray. You are going to pray. Listen to me. The grace of God represents His empowerment upon the life of an individual. It takes the grace of God to be able to do all these things that you seek to do. You are going to cry. It is always at the shout of grace, grace. You are going to cry the grace to get your prayer life back on fire. The grace to study. The grace that tears away spiritual shackles. I'd like you to lift your voice and last prayer point. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15. It said, meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them. Meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Immerse yourself in it. No plan B. It is the word of God, no option. Meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them. It says your profiting will appear unto all. You are going to turn this scripture into a prayer. The grace to plunge yourself into the subject of knowledge, spiritual knowledge. And I'd like you to declare that your prophecy will appear unto all. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Meditate on this thing. Give yourself wholly to them. That thy prophecy may appear. Are you praying?
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Please listen to me. Please listen. Beginning from tonight, I want you to go back with a determination that you are going to take the word of God seriously. Everyone under the sound of my voice, you should get a good USB port. The media can help you. This thing is free. Get quality teachings. Go and camp with your destiny. You should have an archive of teachings. You can get Bible on MP3. Just play it and you can even sleep and your spirit man is still hearing it while you are sleeping. This is the only way it works, my dear people. Obtain grace. God gave you a phone. It has an alarm clock. Put your alarm clock. 3:30, 4:30, 5:30. The moment it rings, the moment you want to feel tired, just remember the generation you are sent to say, wake up for us. Wake up for us. Wake up for us. If not for yourself, wake up for us. And you obtain grace. Bow your knees and your heart before God in prayer and start your day with fire. Continue declaring over your destiny. Can I tell you this? You may not have money, you may not have influence, but one thing you have is this treasure that cannot be taken away from you. Lock yourself. Be a people of prayer. Be a people of the word. Culture the things you say. Don't go around speaking as if you are not born again, cursing yourself with wrong words. That is how it is for all of us. No, no. I've taught you, don't be afraid and ashamed of being controversial. You wake up in the morning, worship is playing. This is the day the Lord has made. I rejoice and I am glad in it. I declare upon this day, in the name of Jesus, you will bring to me the riches and the blessings that came from heaven. I decree and declare my life is a blessing today. I decree and declare the lands have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. My steps are ordered by the Lord. You are declaring. You've stretched some time in the spirit. You are praying and you are building capacity in the spirit. Lay your hands upon the book where you write the things that relate to your destiny. Lord, I may not know how it will come to pass, but in the name of Jesus, all the men you have positioned in my destiny at their strategic timings, they will appear without missing a second. Lord, I don't know where I'm going to be, whether in Lagos, whether in London, whether in Abuja, whether in Zaria. You are the one who knows where I'm going. But I declare over my destiny. My destiny, I'm not the only one looking for you. You look for me too. Two of us must meet somewhere. I can't be the one looking for you alone. Also look for me. We will meet at the point of prophecy. Don't get too big to engage the truth of God's word. Don't pray alone. I wish I had time. I would have shown you the balance or the imbalance of having a rich prayer life without having a strong prayer bank. This is one of the things the devil is using to destroy our generation. I believe in prayer, you know that. But many people use the prayer index as the only index to measure spiritual health. So the moment you can pray for 5 hours standing, you think you are mature. Go and read Matthew chapter 4. And you will see there that Jesus went to pray for 40 days and 40 nights with fasting. And when he was done praying and fasting, you would think Satan would never come to him again because he has prayed. Satan came immediately after the prayer. The only other thing that spoke was, it is written. When Satan came and tempted Jesus, Jesus did not say, you are stupid. Is it that you've not seen me pray? He said, it is written. The prayer was for him. It is written is the one that is for Satan. Can I teach you this? Don't get into that fallacy of exalting your prayer life above and beyond your word life. No, it's not prayer that created the heavens and the earth. It's the word. Now, you must embrace the prayer ministry, but you must also be students of scripture. Many Pentecostal charismatics are absolutely spiritually ignorant. But when it has to do with prayer, give them a mic. People will pray for hours, but no results in their lives. Because the word content goes down. And because we live in a generation that has marketed prayer even above the word. People just feel the moment I can pray and I can stretch, whether I have understanding or not. And you find out those people after 5-10 years in their utter frustration, you will never even believe that they love the Lord. Jesus prayed and fasted, but he was full of that word content. It would take the union of an equally robust ministry of the word and ministry of prayer. Go and buy your Bible. If God can help you to get the Dick's Annotated Reference Bible, get it and settle down. And don't just read anything you want. You open in the morning and it's Deuteronomy 9. You just read 3 verses. You will not grow that way. That is a child's way of growing. If you need to use materials to help you grow, that's fine. You may want to settle down and say, this week, I'm studying on faith. Or better still, you can use whatever message is taught to be your study for that week. So if, for instance, we teach on faith, that becomes, now you have a dual advantage. Whatever you learn here on Friday, there is still another fire from Sunday. Abuja Koinonia is not for Abuja people. Abuja Koinonia is for the Koinonia family. You should connect and plunge to it with all your heart and listen. Okay, so you're learning on spiritual growth now. You go back and use it as a study. You're a family man, you can decide to use it for your study that week with your family. So that whilst the word of God comes, you now extend, you will see other things the preacher was saying that you did not see. You can't remain small that way. I'm helping you to fight a life of frustration. So that after many years, you would not stand and they'll say, do you know Koinonia? You say, yes, Abba, we were there. Check the photos, you see my face. Where are the results to show? Godliness, zero. Excellence in life, zero. Influence, zero. Fulfillment, zero. Growth, zero. Impact, zero. And you frustrate yourself to an early grave. God is giving you another opportunity tonight. He's brought us here again. This convergence intended to sharpen us. Go for knowledge. Go for knowledge. In addition to prayer, in addition to fasting, in addition to kingdom service, go for knowledge. High level spiritual knowledge. And every time you study and you know, meditate upon it, give yourself wholly to it. Then obtain the grace to obey. That's the key. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 28 and verse 1. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, to do and observe all that I command you this day, that you shall be exalted above all the nations of the earth, and this blessing shall come upon you and overtake you. Then it begins to list them. Joshua 1 verse 8, the formula for success. This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. In other words, consistently, that thou mayest observe to do, observe to do, observe to do. Not just observe to speak, not just observe to learn, observe to do all that is written therein. It says then, not before, not during. Then shall thou make your way prosperous. And thou shalt have good success. It says, now that ye know these things, happy are you if you do them. Father, we give you praise for tonight. Thank you for challenging our hearts. You do this because you love us. You do this as a token of your commitment to our lives and our destinies. Lord, we remain determined by the Spirit. We remain intentional, even by the Spirit, to see to it that we live the fullness of our destinies based on the standard you have set for us. I have brought your word to your people tonight, charging their hearts and charging us all together to go for knowledge and to place premium on spiritual information. Lord, I pray that everyone who is a hearer of this, that the truths you have heard will not judge you tomorrow. In the name of Jesus Christ, that the truths that you have heard tonight will not stand against your destiny tomorrow. In the name of Jesus. Before we go, can we speak in 1 minute over the miracle service tomorrow? Just declare wherever you are, let's sow that seed of prayer, that there will be such a manifestation of the power and the grace of God. Let the sick be healed. Let yokes be taken away. Let burdens be removed. That God Himself will transform lives afresh again. Pray for everyone who is coming, those traveling from far and near, that God will grant them very marvelous visitations by the Spirit. For in Jesus' name I pray.
We believe you are mightily blessed. To connect with the ministry and get more from Apostle Joshua Selman, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Koinonia ENI to stream Koinonia Live.
Go to mixella.com/koinonia-radio and download the teachings on koinoniadownloads.org. For questions and inquiries, call 0814-721-4444 or 0907-777-7853. We love and celebrate you.